gentlemen, boys and girls, pets and creatures of every make and model, fans of entertainment and shenanigans alike, welcome back to Legends Podcast. I'm Beef.
I'm Willie.
And I'm John Lobster. 25 years ago, an amazing entertainment spectacle showcased a radical new technology that brought extinct creatures to life and captured the imagination of the entire world. The fact that it happened to be a movie about an entertainment spectacle that showcased a radical new technology bringing extinct creatures to life was purely coincidental. Unlike the titular amusement park, the movie was a monumental success and hatched a franchise that, though at times seemed endangered, has yet to go extinct. Dr. Beef, my dear Dr. Willie, welcome to Jurassic Park.
And the fucking chorus comes up and it's, and you're like, this movie is so, I don't know what the word, it's not titular, but this movie is so like in
seminal
in my wheelhouse where 93, I was 13 years old. I saw this probably 3 or 5 times in the theater.
I was 10 years old.
CGI.
I was only 8.
The CGI was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
It's still, while
it still holds up,
it's a step or two behind, right? Because
right.
You can
but
tell.
If you compare
but for 25 it to, years later.
Yeah.
If you compare it to The Matrix, this is phenomenal. And
yeah,
that was 6 years later.
If you compare it to, we watched, what was it? Lost in Space, which was
98.
Several years later. Super Mario Brothers. Other CGI. Remember when we watched Mighty Morphin Power Rangers?
Oh, this was
the CGI in that.
Oh, the ooze.
Listen, the only thing that flaws it on these is like the color, a little bit of the shading and the movement.
Right.
But it's not. They don't look like they're blobs poured
nope.
into the
mm-hmm.
frame.
Nope.
They are just slightly.
They have texture. They have depth.
Yes,
they have weight.
Just a little bit off in the color. And the thing is that they use them like the Jaws shark.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't see any dinosaur
yep.
up until the hurt and sick triceratops, right?
Right.
And then after that,
well,
you might
see the brachiosaurus
but
up there.
But you don't see anything up front fast
up
moving.
Close, yeah. And when it's up close, it's physical.
And it's also behind, like when they're chasing
right.
them, the thing, it's like out of the corner of your eye. It's
yeah.
they're eating food and jello, and then you see the shadow of it. It's
yeah.
more that tension that they build. Oh.
Now, yeah. I hear you guys cupping these CGIs, but let's not forget the practical effects here.
Fuck yeah.
That's what I was going to say. Like the practical effects give it weight. They give it depth. The foot squishing down into
yes.
the mud.
The stomping of the doof,
the tapping doof. Claw on the kitchen floor. The heave of the Triceratops breathing, and you have
oh, yeah.
Sam Neill like laying on it. What this movie does is it uses CGI when it's impractical to have a physical effect, or a physical effect would just look cheesy, but it knows when to use a physical prop to create that feeling of something there.
But don't you think that's what's the hallmark of this time in
right,
movie filmmaking
right.
is
well,
that it's a mix between CGI, which is nominal at this point, and
right.
practical, but they have to make it work in different shots. You can't have a practical
and
effect
seen,
and then blend it.
We've seen movie making actually go back towards that
yes.
more recently, especially with the recent Star Wars films. In that they're invested more now because they know that audiences can discern overuse of CGI. But you can kind of fool the audience a little bit when you mix in practical as well. That,
you almost have to.
Right. And this movie, to me, again, I was 10 years old. A lot of people talk about a movie that captured their imagination and made them fall in love, not just with the movie itself or the story, but with movie making, with film. This is my Star Wars.
Ooh, that's some strong words.
No,
yeah.
You know what? I almost have to agree with that because I, as most boys of the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and
yeah.
forever, was infatuated with dinosaurs.
Right.
Right. And they were this bigger-than-life creature, and now you had a basic veritable Disneyland that you're going to, right. And you know my post-apocalyptic fiction, shit goes sideways, bend. So this is all of that wrapped into one. Now you have a young kid about my age or our age, some chick to fawn over and scientists to follow.
Yep.
Like, this is... You're right. This is basically my Star Wars of the time. This and Independence Day from a year before or a year later are what I spent two summers worth of grass cutting allowance on.
Yeah, yeah.
Just that roar. Just when Sam Neill or whatever his name is goes up and he looks at the little kid in the thing in the tree and he's like, I threw up. And then they're bitching about the next tree. And the little boy's like, yeah, well, you weren't in the last one.
You weren't in the last one.
All of those beats make this movie not a movie. It's an experience because we all experienced it so young.
Yeah.
It's written. It's written in our DNA now.
Yeah. And again, I have gone back to this movie again and again. At 10 years old, I read the book.
I never have yet.
Which was way over my head.
Me either.
But I read it anyway. And saw the movie, bought the VHS, watched the VHS so much that I actually started taping parts of it on cassette and listening to them.
Nice.
And then read the comics, had all the toys. When I got a Sega Genesis, got the games for it. I mean, like, again, Jurassic Park was my thing. And for a good part of my childhood, it was like my mile marker, my touchstone. So people would talk about, oh, you know, this was such and such a time. And I was like, okay, 93 was Jurassic Park. So let me figure this out.
Right. That was your tether point.
Yeah. Yeah!
Wow, you were like elbow deep, like Laura Dern was in that poop.
Is one big pile of shit.
Oh, that is one thing about too. You know, the late '80s, early '90s blondes. That's one of my tether points too, because her high waisted baggy shorts. Yet she's limping away fastly from velociraptors and grabbing and swinging on conduit. Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, but again, like this to me, I was saying to Beef before the show, we lost our co-host Wing due to a migraine, and Willie, like super last minute, jumped in, and I was like, yeah, I was like, you know, I would be happy to talk about it just with Beef, but I really need to like gush to more people because this movie is really, really important to me. And we're talking about it, we should say, on the 25th anniversary of the film's release.
It's within a couple weekends, right?
Yeah, with last week it came out.
No
25
way.
Years ago. And, of course, this weekend is Jurassic World 2 coming out. So, I mean,
Let's roll it back a second. We all just rewatched this recently. Willie, did you have time to rewatch it, or are you just going off of your love of it?
Yeah, I had about 30 minutes, so I didn't really get a chance to watch the movie, but yeah, this is all memory.
It's ingrained. Again, if you grew up in the 90s, you've seen Jurassic
Park.
No,
I guess, but
I own the movie. It's all in my head. That's where it's
at. My point was is that when you watch this again, you watch Jurassic World now, and you feel the nostalgic shots, right? You feel
that,
six or eight of them or whatever that you know are from Jurassic Park. But when you watch Jurassic Park again, you realize there's not six or eight. There's like 10 or 12.
It's the whole movie.
It's the whole fucking movie is in there.
Yeah, start to finish.
It's just less of them have a emotional tether or weight to them.
Even the scenes I thought were dumb as a kid, now I'm like, okay, that all makes sense.
Because it has weight now.
Yeah.
Subconsciously, there is something in there that goes, holy shit, I love this.
Yeah.
It's well worth a rewatch if you're a fan
of
the series.
And every time I watch the movie, I'm like invested on why the Triceratops are getting sick, and they never explain it. But I don't care that they don't explain it. Like, obviously, I know what it is. I figured it out. But
wait, do they explain it?
The wrong plant? I thought they said it was like the wrong plants.
They theorize on it, but I don't.
No. So they don't eat the plants because they have them on security camera all the time. They know the Triceratops don't eat the plants, the berries, and they know that it's not in their stool. But they look at the smooth stones, and because Triceratops, dinosaurs, evolved into birds, like birds, they have gizzard stones. So the Triceratops swallow the stones.
Holy fuck.
That have the berries fall off the bush.
Okay,
they get the berries too.
You connected that, but let's go to this movie was 25 years ago where it was out there. Probably for, you can quote me on this and send your hate mail to wing@legendspodcast. But if
dinosaur means,
right, if
terrible
the theory
lizard.
Was out there and the ideas were out there for 10, 15, 20 years before this movie, but they had no real traction, that dinosaurs became birds, that they had hollow bones, that
feathers,
they had feathers,
later
that they
on
had
feathers,
that they had gizzard stones.
Yeah.
Right? But this movie encapsulates all that into, this is what potentially happened, and
right,
they
right
took a gamble. We could be now
they
25 years later. They didn't take. They took a not a gamble, but a strategic guess.
Yeah,
a scientific
guess. One of the things that I have to give Michael Crichton credit for is,
has anybody
that
read
he,
Next, the book Next by him?
Yeah, yeah.
Good
the
and
awesome
fucking
Nicolas
weird
Cage movie.
No,
no,
wait,
not that one.
No.
One of the things that Michael Crichton is really great at is talking to experts, because he knows he's not an expert. Mm-hmm. So he'll go out and he'll talk to people like Robert Backer and Jack Horner, who had these theories at the time, which you're right, were radical.
Yes.
And they're like, you know, we really are thinking now that dinosaurs have more in common with birds than
like
they do
common
with
day birds and reptiles.
Right.
Yep.
Yeah, I was going to ask, was all this... was any of this in the book, or was it this the screenwriters? But
well,
yeah, I kind of answered
so
that.
So what's kind of interesting is a lot of people think that the book came out, it was a hit, and they decided to make the movie. What actually happened was that Michael Crichton was working on the book. He was also developing a script with Steven Spielberg, which would turn into the TV show ER. He was
what?
Talking.
Hold yeah on. I need more of that info before you just glossed over that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Crichton used to be a doctor, right? Did you guys know this?
No. Not a clue.
Okay. So Crichton, well, I don't know if he ever finished, but he was at least in medical
he
school.
He studied enough.
He studied enough, and he wrote a number of books while he was in med school under different pseudonyms and had them published. And then he decided to focus on writing and started writing. But his ideas always kind of had this pseudoscientific bent. I don't know if Andromeda Strain. I know Beef Knows Westworld.
Yeah, but that's
so I don't...
my favorite fiction is that type of shit where they base
right
some of it on reality. Whether
right
it's Michael Crichton
so he
or
developed,
the...
But he developed a script about young doctors... and he developed it with Spielberg producing. That turns into the show ER. While they're working on that, he says to Spielberg, oh, by the way, I'm working on this other novel. You might be kind of interested in it. It's about a theme park full of dinosaurs, and everything goes wrong. And so Spielberg pressured Universal Studios to get the rights, and other studios were bidding too. But Universal ended up getting the rights for Spielberg to develop the script for this, and then they paid Crichton to write the first draft of the script.
I totally didn't listen to your last three sentences, but Matthew Riley, my favorite fiction author, has a book called Dragon Something or Other that is like Jurassic Park, Jurassic World, and it's
right.
He basically calls it out. But ER TV series started filming in September 1994. So yeah, that's
yeah. That's
wow,
so
that's fucked up, dude.
To go back, I forget how we got on this topic.
Doesn't matter. We're here together.
But what's interesting about the way that Crichton writes is he does include a lot of scientific or pseudoscientific ideas. His books are really weird. They have like footnotes and like they're really interesting to read. If you ever get a chance to read Jurassic Park, I highly recommend it just to see kind of the process. The movie is about 10% of the novel.
Well, that's how they always are.
Yeah, in terms of exposition and all of that. And it's a kind of a slog to get through. When I was a kid, I used to just skip to the part where the T-Rex got loose and like not read all the beginning stuff.
I wish I was trained how to like reading early and I didn't find it on my own. But Willie, you keep piping up. What do you got, brother?
Oh, I'm just going to say, I doubt I will ever read the book for one important reason. And when we start getting characters, I'm going to make myself known on that part.
The characters are quite different in the movie.
I see.
And that...
I don't mind if I... Okay, I'm the type of person that will wait like an asshole and watch the TV show or the movie, and then afterwards read and enjoy the book. Because I have my own basis. I like having it mainlined to me through video, but I don't mind reading it and having it different. I'm still going to see, you know, Cersei Lannister as...
Right. Well, I don't necessarily mean the characters are described as physically different.
Okay.
Portrayed
different? Like their core holistics, if you will?
The kids are swapped, basically. Muldoon is a drunk.
He's in the movie too, right?
They don't show well, yeah.
Muldoon, wait.
The lawyer ends up being one of the heroes. Ian Malcolm dies.
That's what I was going to talk about.
John Hammond is straight up...
Don't do that.
John Hammond is straight up evil and kind of gets his comeuppance at the end and dies.
Okay, that's... I don't like when they go that far from a book. At least with the movie version of Ender's Game, you still got a... It's a horrible version. But at least you still got a beautiful version of the war room, and everybody was kind of their baseline the same.
Right.
If you go changing a whole book just to make a movie better, I get it, but how is that rewarding for anyone like you that read the book?
Well, but again, like when I was a kid, I kind of dissociated the two because I knew it was a movie that was based on the book. And like because I read the book as a kid, I understood there was a lot that didn't make it into the movie, and the characters were different and things like that. The movie characters are much more likable. Even Dennis Nedry, who's kind of the bad guy, is more likable.
He's a lovable idiot.
Yeah, he's a buffoon.
He just wants his cash.
He's kind of a douchebag, isn't he?
I could have bid this job for a lot more, but you know, I tried to do you guys a favor.
Yeah. And one of the things for me is... I kind of separated it in my head, and I was like, okay, well, they didn't do that scene where they do the river boat. They didn't do the scene where they go in the, you know, pterodactyl dome.
They have like a Pirates of the Caribbean. No, that was in the second or third one, which kind of irritated me, though, right?
Right. So the later movies do steal ideas from the novel. They kind of go back and steal stuff. The sequel starts with the same opening scene as the book, where it's the girl on the beach and she gets bit by the compy.
Now I gotta watch all these again because they're not bad. It's just over
there
years.
Three is bad, but
that Alan is that a talking velociraptor?
But the whole Site B thing, it's still that's two, right? Isn't Site B two or a Site?
Yeah, Site B is so Lost Crichton World. Went back and wrote his own sequel. Which I think was a mistake, but I don't
know. Because it might be a mistake, but it's from the original. I'd rather have it from their mind pool as opposed to just pulling from Willie and I get the rights to fucking version
again,
two.
I think I've talked about on the cast before how there were these comics that came out
for Jurassic
right
Park.
After the movie, for Jurassic Park, that kind of continued the story. And one of my favorite was, so some of the raptors get off the island and they end up getting caught.
Sorry.
Well, so it's interesting. So end up getting caught by this like Colombian drug dealer who puts these shock collars on them and trains them to be his personal.
It is Blue. Like,
basically, right? So that was one of my favorite stories from the comics.
Oh, my God.
So, and then, like, lo and behold, Jurassic World kind of takes that.
And the next one now, because they're, man who trained raptors didn't realize they'd be sold for blah, blah, blah.
And that brings me all the way back to this original point that we got on this tangent was they had this idea that dinosaurs may have looked different or been different than kind of our traditional idea of dinosaurs. Right. What I love about Jurassic Park and Jurassic World is they kind of say, in Jurassic World especially, says nothing we created here was ever real. If we created authentic-looking dinosaurs, that's not what people want. People want their sort of scaly,
yeah, but before that,
lizard-like.
They even cut you off and say, that is it, but we had to dose them with frog or lizard or whatever
DNA. Fill in gaps. We had to fill in gaps
so
and things like
they
that.
They even cut you off before they can even cut you off by saying, we had to make it work through science. Go fuck yourself if you don't believe in science. If you don't, if you believe in science to make dinosaurs real, but you don't believe in it to make them scaly and not feathery.
Right.
And speaking of which, can we talk about the elephant in the room?
Yeah, Willie, speak up. Pipe up, brother.
Yeah, the half-life of DNA, especially dinosaur DNA, is impossible. They're dead. It's completely gone. You cannot do this at all.
Okay. I'll be
even
the,
preserved I'll in be mosquito the, amber?
Yep. I'll be the hold on. I'll be the weirdo in the room, right? They have supposedly in the last 10 or 20 years found a T-Rex quoty finger fossil.
Yeah.
That when they cracked open had some soft tissue in it, right? I don't know if it's true, but whether it's true or not, I don't know if that would have viable DNA in it or not.
Right.
But
I don't think so, because just like the the lingering radiation.
Whatever. One in a quadrillion chance. Maybe they find something. Who knows? This is still, it's one step off from being awesome.
Are you saying life finds a way?
Holy fuck, you're right. I'm too drunk to remember the line from the movie. But yeah, life finds a way.
Well, and I think kind of the other thing that you can think about is, again, like, you may not be able to get enough to clone a dinosaur, but we've cloned other animals. We've cloned sheep. They said there's a chance they can clone a woolly mammoth or something like that.
Actually, they are solidly working on that right now, because in the ice fields or whatnot of Siberia and other places where they are basically strip mining with high-pressure hoses, they are finding stuff in the permafrost, like tusks and bones, that they can literally extract marrow from and get closer and closer to a full DNA sequence of a woolly mammoth. So
they're probably going to find some weird viruses
before we're
kill
dead.
Us all.
Why?
Before we're dead, I'll put a shiny quarter that we will see a living woolly mammoth in a zoo somewhere before the three of us die.
Yeah,
there will be.
It's going to
be
awfully hot. It on YouTube and go,
it's
going to
be awfully hot
because
of global warming. Right, it's going to be like, what the fuck?
Well, hey, they have meat. They have meat freezers, bro. They'll put them somewhere.
I don't need this coat. What are you doing?
Someone will be out there every 3 days, like, woolly. It'll be a great wall commercial, wall shaver commercial.
Yeah, there you go. But again, I think if you take some of the pseudoscience, you could say, well, you know, we're cloning quotey fingers, but really we're just kind of making shit up, and it's a dinosaur. So one of the other cool things that happened is, so velociraptors are only like a foot and a half tall, right?
Yep.
From the skeleton.
Depending, aren't the Utah raptors, aren't they supposed to be bigger?
But the Utah raptor wasn't discovered until after they shot the movie.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was right as the movie came out, they discovered Utah raptor, which they almost called Utah raptor Spielbergy.
No way.
Jesus Christ.
It's true.
But see, they also meshed, what was it, the Dilophosaurus with the frill.
The spitter.
I love the Dilophosaurus.
The spitter and the frill, they mashed those two together. They're two separate dinosaurs, but they mashed them together for the movie. It's like smashing all your people into Negasonic Teenage Warhead in the first Deadpool.
Listen, you have to think that at some point a mosquito bit one dinosaur and then flew over and bit another, and then them's DNAs got swirled together.
It happened.
And Dilophosaurus, you know?
But, I mean,
We didn't know it had the frills, but that's cool.
For the first movie, it's cool that they kind of shoot it out there and go, whatever.
Yeah, that'll sell some toys.
Yeah, it's cool. Let's go. Let's see old Newman there get spit in the face.
Can we talk about toys and marketing just for a second?
The Barbasol can alone. I still want one of those.
Okay, so do you know the story behind the Barbasol can?
What do you mean, the story behind it?
So the actor who played Dodson went out for his audition. He went out and bought that Barbasol can and took it to the audition with him, just so he had something like to go use on when he was acting. And they didn't say what kind of shaving cream it was supposed to be, so he just went and picked the Barbasol can. And he was so broke at the time, he took it home with him and used it.
Yeah, can't blame him.
It's like perfect though, because that is, I don't know, just the way they break it down to sneaky. This whole movie is beats of childhood, right?
Yeah,
all of it. I remember
and just
when I sorry, legends. When I first started smoking pot, you could buy Barbasol cans and shit like that that you hid pot and money, quotey fingers,
just like
in the
they
bottom.
Were Dennis Nedry's embryos.
That sounds weirder when you say it like that out loud.
I'm getting a little heated over here, actually.
Embryos?
Well, I'm thinking of Wayne Knights.
All right, I want to find the quote. Okay, so I want to back up and just talk about how this movie product places itself. So at the time that the movie came out, the movie poster was the logo for Jurassic Park.
It should be, right? Yeah. This is like the first one.
It's a black poster, and it's the Jurassic Park logo with the dinosaur skeleton and the red background.
It's like a
stamp.
It could be
red, black,
instantly
and yellow
black
colors.
And white negative.
So when the movie came out, everything got Jurassic Park branded. And believe me, I sought out as much as I could. So they, in the movie, have the Jurassic Park lunchbox, the Jurassic Park t-shirt, and all of that stuff. And then everything in the movie got turned into a toy, some with varying degrees of accuracy to what it actually was. I believe the tour vehicle toy had a rocket launcher, you know, just ridiculous
stuff.
Oh,
yeah, you got to ramp it up for sure.
Yeah, but that sold those toys. It sold those toys. And I bought all of them. And in fact, I have a very clear memory in childhood of I wear glasses. Well, now I have contacts, but as a kid, I had glasses. Yeah, because I was a nerd. It's true. Thank you.
I still do, too.
Perfect 20/20 vision.
Okay. Thanks for throwing that in my face.
I still
but
do.
Whatever.
I'm just kidding. I had to say it.
So when nerd. I was a kid, what you did, or what we did, was you would get your prescription and you'd go to the mall. And you'd go to Lens Crafters, and they would make your glasses in an hour, right? But they had to keep your old glasses. So when I was a kid, I had to walk around the mall for an hour without my glasses. And I have horrible, horrible eyesight. So that was almost like being blind. Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
I'm sticking
with it. That's literally being blind.
I have a very clear memory of walking around the mall in the summer of 1993. And I would kind of walk down the middle of the mall between the stores. And I would be scanning for the red, black, and yellow logo.
Shh, shh, shh. Wait, don't move. If he doesn't see movement.
He can't see you. His vision's based on movement. He can't track you.
Right.
And I remember, I remember walking through the mall with my parents. And I'd be like, oh, hold on. I want to go over there. I think they have some Jurassic Park stuff. And I'd like go in stores. And of course, it was all in the windows.
Don't move.
He can't see you. All right, here's a statistic for you. Because Jurassic Park took so long in pre-production, because they had to figure out all the CGI, the animatronics, the sets, all of that stuff, they had a lot of time to plan the marketing campaign. The marketing campaign had deals with 100 companies to market 1,000 different products.
Yes.
From, and you guys will remember, McDonald's, the Kenner Toys, the video games, the novelizations. I remember candy. Let's see. What else was there? I think I had a Trapper Keeper.
Yeah, Trapper. Oh, that. Yeah, Trapper Keeper's notebooks. This was everything. And I think it was so much of everything that this is one of the first things that marketed above and beyond my sight. right?
Right.
It was just everywhere. I was 13 at the time. This wasn't just your Trapper Keeper, your notebook, your candy. This was everything. I don't even think it was just McDonald's. It was Burger King and Taco Bell. Everybody had something.
There's one more thing I want to mention, which is dinosaur toys were everywhere, even at this point before Jurassic Park, right? So kids had dinosaur toys. Every toy store, you could get a dinosaur toy. So Jurassic Park comes along, and they're selling what? They're selling more dinosaur toys.
Quote, real dinosaur toys.
But how do you know you get an authentic Jurassic Park dinosaur, you know, or your friend who shows up at the playground that brings his dinosaur
toy
and says,
hey, you're talking your branding.
This is from Jurassic Park.
Go ahead.
All of the dinosaurs had a little tattoo on them, and it was a JP. And in the commercials, I remember very clearly, they said, look for the JP mark. And so that was like a little brand.
You remember that?
I remember that.
That is ringing a bell. I do remember something like that.
Yeah,
I don't
YouTube,
remember that.
YouTube the commercial. I'm sure you'll see
there
it.
There isn't a first stage of that I remember branding. So if you remember that, that's really cool.
It was ingrained.
And fucked up.
It had to have been. And fucked up that I still remember it, maybe.
That's subliminal messaging, dude.
Right. They said, look for the JP mark.
Right.
And I was like, okay.
I got to name my kid Justin Paul Lobster.
I will look for the JP mark
Justin
only.
Paul
and
Lobster.
The JP stands
I will
for-
have no gods but Spielberg.
And the JP stands for just purchase it.
Yeah, just purchase
Holy
it.
Holy shit.
Just fucking buy it. The,
look
the
for the just
parents.
Purchase logo in 1984.
Right.
Get your mom's credit card.
Right.
What's the CC code on the back?
But all of this, I remember, you know, I collected. I didn't have everything, but again, I got another chance a couple years later with The Lost World when I was probably a little too old to be buying that shit, but I still did it and got, like, the trailer because I thought it was awesome. The double RV that they have.
Stop it. Let's stop about the merchandising. Lobster, you're not being you. I'm really disappointed in you. Sam Neill.
Oh, you
want to
talk about the quality of the filmmaking?
Sam Neill.
What? No.
Laura Dern, Jeff Goldblum, Richard fucking Attenborough, right?
Joseph Mazzello.
Martin Ferger, somebody or other. B.D. Wong. Like Samuel L.
Motherfucking
Jackson.
Hold on to your butts. Hold on to your butts.
This whole cast is phenomenal. The movie making is awesome. The CGI is new and beautiful.
It's
still
new and it fucking works.
25 years later, the color is a little bit off and like the movement is a little bit off. Other than that, it's perfect.
Did I tell you when I was a kid I wrote a letter to Ariana Richards and she wrote back and sent a picture?
There's a gnat in my face or a fruit fly and I'm going to punch my mic. So how did her picture look and what did she say?
Yeah, it looked great. And she talked about...
was it a can letter? It doesn't even matter, I guess.
Yeah, no, it was a can letter.
That doesn't matter, though. It's still awesome.
But she wrote back and told
who?
Me about
Wait,
you
which
know,
one?
Filming the movie and this and that.
Who?
And what's that?
Which one?
Lex.
Oh, the young chick.
Because again, you're a 10-year-old kid. You're going to be like,
exactly. I was a 13-year-old kid, and I was like, hey, how are you doing, Blondie?
Hey, Laura Dern, how are you? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, hey, Laura Dern, I, you know, it's still maybe.
also yeah. True. I was like, hey, Bob Peck, you played Robert Muldoon. You got eaten.
Stop
you know, what's
it.
What's going on? Talk to me.
Talk to me.
No, because right after he played Santa Claus in Miracle on 34th Street.
I didn't see that.
I
may
have seen it. Little girl from Matilda.
But I didn't.
The little girl from Matilda.
Go. Hey, that's the dude who built built dinosaurs.
So if you want something that'll really bake your noodle, watch the HBO series The Pacific, which is a very violent
Band of Brothers.
Gritty.
Second.
Yeah, it's a Band of Brothers style.
Second season. No, it's literally the second version of Band of Brothers.
Right. But it's got Timmy in it. He's like the lead character.
That kid, when he's like, one, two.
Well, I read this other book by this guy named Backer. And he says, you're full of shit, Alan Grant.
and yours is fully illustrated. So it's like yours is really only a tenth of his. Yeah, yeah, it was a little shit.
You count the pictures. Oh, I love it. It's so good. I was Timmy though, so it's
you
all
read
fine.
All the books by Becker.
Oh, when I was a kid, I had dinosaur bed sheets. Like
we
I'm not
all
even
had
joking.
A dinosaur like, bed yeah. sheet,
even,
pillows,
even pre, oh, even
poster.
Pre Jurassic Park.
So did I.
Were my jam,
dude. That's
and then right. I, you know. I got diverted a little bit by Ghostbusters and Ninja Turtles, but when Jurassic Park came out, I went back.
No.
I went back on the wagon.
I think
hardcore.
That's fair play because honestly, I can pretty much show you the, you know, 20 by 40 poster board that I had in my room in 88 or 89 that was all the dinosauria, whatever. Yeah. And it was, you know, everything from the Cretaceous and the blah, 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 blah. So it's like I knew yep. a portion of these. So when this movie came out, it wasn't just in my wheelhouse. Yep. This was my masturbatory fantasy. Like,
all right, you guys just dislodged a memory here. You talked about bed sheets, and I had a pillow, a Jurassic Park pillow.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason I don't have it anymore is because the ex-wife made me get rid of it. But I've had that thing in all its lumpy
then
glory
I think you need to send her a fucking email that says, I need to buy me this.
Yeah,
oh, you
need
think
to
I
go
want
on
talk
eBay.
To her ever again?
You no, need to go on still. eBay and look for
yeah,
one.
Yeah, buy yourself one.
If you want to relive your childhood, eBay
okay,
is the
place
to do it. Okay,
hold on. Check out Thundercats. You guys remember Thundercats?
Yeah. You goddamn right okay. I do.
I had the metal lunchbox. Like, not, it was, might have been tin, but metal. And I was all sick at lunch, fifth, sixth grade. So you're talking 85, 86, and I threw the lunchbox in the garbage. Went to the lunch.
You son of
hold
a
on.
Bitch.
Went to whatever. I came back, and I'm like, I'm looking for my lunchbox. And they sent me down to, like, the old toothless guy, the janitor.
I pulled this out of the trash
right.
for you. If you touch me
trash.
In my sore place, I'll give
no,
it back to you.
No,
I knew it was going to turn creepy.
It didn't get that dirty, but he's like, I got this out for you. And it's all charred, and all you can see is like the barely raised content.
He put it in the incinerator. That's awesome.
Yes, it was all.
Remember when the school had its like own incinerator
every
for the trash?
School did, exactly. Yeah. And it was like the beautifully crusted outline of my Thundercats lunchbox. And I remember... solid disappointment. Every time I remember solid disappointment, it's that day. Because I'm like,
it's that day.
I will never
get
that back.
The only thing that survived from that.
And then he asked you to put the ointment on.
And then could you rub it
oh,
in?
God.
Could you fit this lunchbox in my
all right.
garbage can?
All right, let's be a little less creepy. Just a little okay. bit less creepy. The only thing that survived
fair
on the
enough.
Lunchbox was Lion-O's cod piece.
No, not even. None of it. They were all blackened and charred. They were done.
That seems a little racist.
No,
but they were
one more thing
were,
I remember
were,
about the
burnt.
Toys.
All the paint was burnt off. There was no racism.
One more thing I remember about the toys is dino damage. So you'd get the dinosaur toy, and it would
like
have
a
little
game?
Chunk of flesh.
I remember
would have
this.
A little chunk of flesh that you could pull off.
Yes.
And there would be like a wound. And the one I had, I didn't have the big T-Rex. I had like the T-Rex Junior, which is like the adolescent T-Rex. So it was bigger than the Velociraptor, but not as big as the big
you
T-Rex.
Mean the
Utah could
Raptor,
but Utah Raptor. So it had like this chunk, and you pinched it and pulled the chunk out, and
oh
you
my.
Could like see its rib cage.
Oh my god!
And I thought, what is the point of dino damage? It's not even in the shape of like a bite. It's just this like, oh, you know, the dinosaurs we cloned them, and they have leprosy. So
oh
yeah,
god.
Chunks just fall off.
So we have them on their own Dino Island. Oh, wait, that's Jurassic Park. Leprosy Jurassic Park.
Come, children of the world. See our leopard dinosaurs.
Leprassic Park. So this is, honestly, though, this is like the... I had watched a lot of movies as a kid, and dinosaurs, dragons, whatever the fuck you want, right? This is the first one that went,
right.
Wow, this is or could be plausible. Right?
Yeah.
The visuals,
so
the profession. They bring professionals in to quote unquote
right.
verify it for them while verifying it for you. So every time the fucking professionals are in awe of it, you're supposed to be
you're
doubly
in awe. Like,
in
these
awe.
Are the these are the experts
right, like,
in this field.
It is such a built in fucking tool. I never saw it until this time because I haven't watched it in 10 years since I've been podcasting. And now it's like as soon as he looks up and he's in awe and then he grabs Laura Dern's fucking head and turns it, you're like, whoa, something big's got to be going on. And I'm going, brontosaur, it's a bro. And then they zoom out and you're like, for the first time.
Brachiosaurus, dude. Is it? Come on.
Yeah. Or whatever.
Weren't those things also came out to be like not real too?
No, those are real.
Well, they said they probably didn't jump on their hind legs and do all that. But
I also thought like their necks weren't that long.
You know what? No. There's vertebrae, so necks are if not maybe that long. They're close to that long.
The theory on them was because they have the snout thing on top of their head, is they like hide in a swamp, and then in the movie they're like on the plains. And they're like, this thing doesn't live in a swamp. It's like doing up on the treetops and stuff.
But
like
you know frogs. What? Apparently, if you believe in evolution, you know, or whatever, people, apes, fish, everything was on four, and then it stepped up on two. Yep. Someone stepped up on two. So maybe.
If we's from monkeys, how come they still monkeys?
We're not going to start on this. I'll be very angry.
If dinosaurs is from birds, how come there's bird?
It's plausible deniability. You know, you're watching a movie about fucking dinosaurs, right?
You know, Muldoon is the Boba Fett of the movie, right?
Complete I'm going to say bad, he's cooler complete, than Boba Fett.
Complete badass goes out like a punk.
Muldoon? No. Girl. He did not go out like a punk. He went out with admiration.
No, he did
not. Thank you.
That kid at the beginning where Alan Grant's like, you know what happens? The one right in front of you is not the one you need to worry about. It's the one from the side that you don't see. Obviously, when they were eating their Chilean sea bass,
no one told Muldoon about that.
He never said, "Oh, watch out, because velociraptors. If you ever have to hunt them, they'll fucking come at you from the side, bro."
Because you told Laura Dern, "Like, run! I see her. Run!" And then he's like,
"Let me open my gun really, really slowly and get ready to take this shot." And then,
you're right. You know what? I didn't notice that till this time. Clearly, no one told him.
Yeah, no one told him how they actually hunted.
Their pack.
Well, I mean, to be fair, who actually knows how they hunted?
Alan Grant did because he fucking scared the shit out of that kid.
Pack hunters. Well, you could have just, scaring the kid shitless, you could have said, all the research says they're pack hunters, just like birds or wolves or something.
I love the line where they're walking up the hill and she's like, you know, if you wanted to scare him, you could have just pulled a gun on him.
Right. And you're like,
early 90s.
At that point in time, you're like, I get it. He doesn't like kids.
Yep.
I mean, and who does?
My other favorite part is when they're in the control room and they're trying to reach the gun. Timmy's just jumping up and down. And I'm like, Timmy, grab the damn gun. Fucking shoot the thing.
Wait, what?
But Spielberg doesn't want to have kids shooting guns in his
movies. There were a handful of times where he was like huddling on. Is that the kid's name? Tim? Oh, yeah, Tim. You say Timmy, though. You say Timmy, and it's like weird. I'm a Timmy. But yeah, there were a few times where I'm like, Tim, you could lock the door or grab the gun.
Yeah, you could do something useful instead of throwing up on things.
My sister's a loser hacker.
Yeah, but I mean, Spielberg was also taking guns out of E.T. before.
It's a Unix system. I know this.
Unix? What?
What else we got? I could go on all night, but
we should probably rate this pig and get the news.
I mean, we could also talk about how, you remember we mentioned the Barbasol can.
Mm-hmm.
There is a, you know, the game company Telltale, who make the Walking Dead games, Create Your Own Adventure.
Yeah.
They did the Jurassic Park one. Explains. I never played it, but they explained what happened to the Barbasol can.
I heard it wasn't very good. I've also heard that too.
The origins of the Barbasol can?
Well, no, what happens to it afterward?
They do a side story, and I think it's the vet that you see with the Triceratops. They say that like he had a daughter that was there, and I think she's the main character, but
couldn't tell you.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That was always a plot thread that they never pulled.
Yeah. So corporate espionage, and that's what they came up with.
Yeah, that's what kids will play.
Put in the Barbasol can.
Corporate espionage.
Yeah, very Michael Crichton, actually. But I mean, again, I could talk about this movie all night. It's really, really up there for me, and I can't overstate the impact that it had on a young me and an old me. Did anybody see it in 3D when they re-released it?
No.
I don't remember. That was awesome. They did.
Yeah, in 2013, I believe.
Oh, I was married and locked down. I couldn't go see any movie.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, 2013, your fault. the 20th anniversary. Right it was. Did okay. Yeah. So that was good.
Shall we rate it?
So how this works, Willie, is we're going to give you a scale, and mm-hmm. you're just going to decide where you fall on that scale. And we have
each,
our rating.
Each layering has two names.
Yeah, so we have our rating, and then we put a movie-specific tag to it.
I've been on the show a time or two.
I know. Okay, we're just re-helping.
Recapping.
I got you for me and the new listeners.
Willie.
No.
For Willie, for Jurassic Park, are you going legendary?
We've spared no expense. The voice you're hearing is Richard Kiley.
Legend of its time.
When dinosaurs ruled the box office.
Cult legend.
You did it. You crazy son of a bitch. You did it.
Awesome.
Clever girl.
Entertaining.
Hold on to your butts.
Mabel.
Yeah, but if the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists.
Forgettable.
Don't you mean extinct?
Abysmal.
That is one big pile of shit.
Spring Breakers Highlander DVD. D&D.
DVD.
D&D.
On DVD. Jurassic Park 3.
I mean, obviously, come on, this movie's legendary. You cannot it's not. I mean, people still want to make sequels even to this day still. It's still making box office money.
That's a fucking hard bit to argue with.
Yeah, I don't think you can argue that.
This is a weird situation. Lobster?
Yeah, legendary for me as well. And again, they're not just making sequels. They're making sequels that are directly cashing in on the nostalgia / guilty pleasure / tingle / barf / tears of the original. I think the original Jurassic Park checks all those boxes for me, because I do get a tingle. Tim throws up in the car.
What happened? I always thought when this happened, I'm like, he peed. And then he's like, I threw up. And I'm like, oh my God, that's right. He barfed.
Like, I shit my pants.
I threw my hands in the air that he barfed. It was cool.
Yeah. But again, we've spared no expense. And I don't know. Sometimes I wish I could go back and just see it again for the first time.
All right, Cher.
Say again?
All right, Cher. If you could go back time.
If I could turn back time.
Yeah. You could find a way.
That's the same way I feel about every time I tell people about my favorite author. I'm like, God, I wish I wasn't telling you about it. I could just read it for the first time.
Yeah. But again, this movie is super important to me. I'm glad we're marking the 25th anniversary. I can't believe that it's 25 years.
Horrible.
And I was 10 when it came out. And boy, was I 9? I might have been 9.
Yeah, I was 7. I turned 8 that year.
Yeah, I turned 10 that year. That's fine. But yeah, spared no expense. Beef?
You kind of swayed me, bro. I was really going to go When Dinosaurs Ruled the Box Office, because to me, no matter how legendary it is a legend of its time. It is my time. It is back then. The CGI is a touch outdated while looking gorgeous and more beautiful than any other shit we've seen recently that's 20-some-year-old CGI.
Right.
You said that this is all of that. This is, with a side of guilty pleasure, tingle, barf, tears, nostalgia.
Nostalgia, yeah.
And the legendary. I got to go, honestly, for this. It's solidly legendary and legend of its time. This is legend of my childhood. This is 13. This is the summer of my 13th year. We spared no expense when dinosaurs ruled the box office. Because there won't be another summer like this. I don't think Independence Day was till the next year.
Yeah, 94, yeah. I believe.
So this is
really the only movie to kind of recapture, I think, the summer glory.
Posters
for this
on our walls, motherfuckers.
Yeah. I mean, Jurassic World came close. I don't think I don't think people expected Jurassic World to do as well as it did.
No, but I think it bit off enough of the nostalgia.
Yeah.
To make everybody go, I'll go see that again.
And until Star Wars, I believe it set a record for top grossing at the box office. So,
well, again, that's the nostalgia button is huge in people, and that's
right. And again,
it has to be done right, though. It can't be Halloween 42.
Right. I think there are some flaws in Jurassic Park. I think that Jurassic World has a lot of flaws, but what it does really well is it cashes in on that nostalgia. It makes you remember how you felt, or if you're not old enough, it kind of recreates some of that emotion. With the new one, so
what's going to be fun is to compare Jurassic World to Jurassic Park,
Lost World
to Jurassic Park 2 and 3, right? They're both the first ones were both of them were but nostalgic, right? Just like the reboot of Star Wars was nostalgic a few years ago. So now you see where they go from there with the story. But now with Jurassic Park, you can see how they're more intertwined and, like, I don't know. I'm afraid that this next one's going to be not nearly as good as the first one.
Fallen Kingdom. We'll see. Comes out this weekend, so maybe we'll have to reconvene in a week or two and discuss it. Beef, what time is it?
News time.
Box office. Speaking of sequels cashing in on nostalgia, the best animated opening of all time, Incredibles 2.
182 plus fucking million.
And that is big.
Is this like prom night built up pressure, though?
Well, I mean, we saw 2 years ago, we saw Finding Dory explode and become one of the top movies of the year. And again, Pixar has proved that kind of this pent-up demand, as well as a decent story, can lead to some pretty significant box office numbers. I had Incredibles 2 pegged at my number 2 for the summer. So for a little context for Willie and I play a game with some other people from Gonna Geek called Fantasy Box Office.
Fantasy Movie League.
Fantasy Movie League.
Bastard.
Fantasy Box Office.
Know your game.
Yeah, whatever. but it's like fantasy football, but it's box office. So FML, Fantasy Movie League. And you pick kind of week to week what you think the top box office earners are going to be, or at least what's going to do well enough if you combine screens to make the most collectively.
Equally.
So we did on Legends, we did our summer box office movie ranking. Willie, you can see it at the bottom of the news doc. And I had Incredibles as my number 2 for the summer behind Infinity War. And after Solo and Deadpool kind of underperformed, Solo especially, that looks pretty good. Beef, how do you feel? You think Jurassic World is going to take over? And
I mean, I need it to, apparently.
Okay, yeah.
But if it feels more like Jurassic Park 2 and 3,
right,
then it's going to a letdown.
It's already off to a good start, though, because it's made like $370 million
one or two
overseas.
Weekends, right?
Yeah, in one or two weekends overseas.
But
so.
Is this just domestic? I thought this was just domestic.
Right. It was domestic, but if we're using domestic as
international.
International as maybe a prediction, it's done well so far. It made more in China than Solo made here. So
again, it's Wings thing, though. It's large robots, dinosaurs, like.
Yep. Yeah.
It's going to
Sells,
right,
man.
So shit. What happened to Rampage then?
Rampage was a shit movie.
It was enjoyable.
Okay, did you watch it? Was it an okay popcorn flick? I haven't watched it.
Yeah,
it was
all right.
It didn't have the nostalgia factor that Jurassic.
It wasn't the video game we all remembered.
No. Well, because they couldn't do that. I mean, there's, I mean, just like making a game out of a movie out of Battleship. It just didn't work.
Yeah, no, don't say that. Battleship kind of worked.
They made Jumanji 2, Welcome to the Jungle, a great video game movie.
And perhaps that was the
greatest.
Right.
Perhaps the greatest video game movie not based on a real video game.
And that's the problem.
I watched Jumanji back to back with Baywatch, and I'm going to say Baywatch is the better Rock movie.
Okay, maybe. But
I love that movie. Hold on. Baywatch is awesome.
Time out. Maybe, but we're talking video game movies. Most video game movies that are based on actual video games suck. Right. But Battleship wasn't horrible, but Jumanji
based on a fake video game, well, based on a board game.
Also, based on a movie.
Based on a fake
board game. Based on a children's book.
Jesus. How many metas is that?
Yeah.
Well, I don't think they made the board game until after the movie, right?
Right. I also really like Tron Legacy, but that's an argument for a different time.
Oof.
I'd watch that again.
I would.
That's a whole nother level, too, because that's a movie kind of based on a fake game made into a real game.
Real game. And then
box office. Oceans dropped 54%.
Yeah, Oceans. Still going to be good. That actually is pretty good. That's a great second weekend. I have not. No. Nope. Did anyone see Tag?
What is that?
Yeah, exactly. That's the one with Hawkeye.
Hawkeye and the guy from whatchamacallit. The other guy.
They're playing a game movie, of Tag. A heist based movie. On a true story.
It's about grown-up men playing tag.
Yeah, for every one month, I think it's March weddings. Or May. Yeah, they even play during that. They try and tag each other. Play a game of tag. That's pretty much it.
And it's called Tag, in case you weren't clear on the game they were playing.
Yeah, but you know, it's really sad that I've read this like 3 times, even while sober, and went, what is that? And I watched the trailer like 6 times in the last movies I've seen. Not good.
Flop alert. I don't know why I even put this in here. John Travolta apparently had this passion project for making a John Gotti movie. He did. It earned his third career 0% Rotten Tomatoes score. Oof. And I even trailed off writing this summary. It bombed at the box office. Finished at number 11.
Hold on a second. What's his other two? I'm guessing Battlefield Earth.
Battlefield Earth. And what's and the other one? Let's look it up.
How do you get a zero?
No one likes the shit.
No one writes a positive
review. You know what? I got to go and do Battlefield Earth at least. I got to help him out.
I'm good on that.
I like Battlefield
Earth. I watched it once and was bored.
You're talking an ex-heroin addict. Like that likes post-apocalyptic. At that point in time, I liked that shit.
Wasn't it just John Travolta as a
No, he was horrible at that. It was the whole setup that I liked. So
fair enough. That's fair. The Scientology book guy.
Yeah, which I don't like.
Ron Hubbard.
Because I'm not a Scientology fan, but the I don't know.
Old Ronnie Hubbard.
Barry Pepper, too.
Old Ronnie Hubbard.
Lived in a cupboard.
All right, so the movies are in this order, and this actually may be wrong because I see 4 zeros. You have Gotti, in which he plays John Gotti Sr. Life on the Line from 2016, where he plays Bo.
He plays John Gotti Sr.
Heard that.
James Urbiako in the 1993 film Look Who's Talking Now. And Staying Alive from 1983, where he plays Tony Manero. We can scroll up, and again, I say scroll up, to 3% for Battlefield Earth.
There you go. And you don't have to do it anymore.
5% for Old Dogs, 2009.
I liked Old Dogs.
83 and 93, so in 35 and 25 years, he hasn't gotten any positive reviews on either of those movies.
Well, again, you have to look at the whole. You have to take into account the whole the full scope of his career. Now he's starred in some well received films such as Pulp Fiction,
The Punisher, Carrie,
Hairspray.
Do those
the Punisher? No, that's
Face Off. That's the Punisher. That's the Punisher.
Away?
The Punisher.
You have to say, well, for every Swordfish.
Wait, you mean the Thomas Jane Punisher?
There's a there's Get Shorty for Ooh. Every but for every Saturday Night
Swordfish
Fever.
Wasn't horrible. It wasn't good.
For every Saturday this? Night Fever, I there's going with Wild Hogs.
I thought you were going to go with Be Cool to keep on with the Get Shorty theme.
Oh, yeah. For every Get Shorty, there's a Be Cool. Yeah. That's fair.
But Wild Hog, that was a good entertaining movie. You got William H. Macy. You got Martin Lawrence. You got your Tim Allen. You got mm-hmm. your John Travolta. What's wrong with it? You even got your Ray Liotta.
Yep. Yep. So I'm just saying, for every Primary Colors, you have, I don't know. Let's just be generous and say The General's Daughter.
Because they Look Who's Talking, the first one.
So we'll leave it at that for Johnny Travs. Let's see.
Chris Hardwick is a dick?
Well, so this is a weird story. And I don't say it's weird because I think it's just a story where we've heard one side and we're kind of getting another side, and the truth is probably somewhere in the middle. So Chris Hardwick's ex wrote a piece for Medium that, among other things, accused him of domestic and sexual abuse.
Did they actually name him? Did she actually name him in the thing?
The piece does not name him, but everyone knows.
The time frame kind of fits it.
From the time frame and a mildly successful podcaster turned media mogul, talk show host. Makes sense.
Oh, yeah.
But to add sort of a grain of salt to that, there's some text messages that were released from Hardwick's side that kind of detailed some of the stuff that went on after the breakup, at least. And again, this is kind of one of those stories where we are now in the time of Me Too, and people are giving a lot of credence to, as rightfully should happen, the, you know, these kind of allegations or accusations. But at the same time, we're in this age of social media where you can be instantly tried and convicted on social media. And we saw that his talk show on AMC got delayed and he got canceled from his Comic-Con panels and things like that. So there's sort of like instant consequences without, you know, really much to go on.
I had not read this secondary article that you have here. But we talked about this on WA Sunday night, and I think that was before these secondary articles came out. We said something like, is this proven? Is this for sure?
Right.
And
right.
One of us, and, I think, and again, yeah, someone said, yeah, this is, and again, it is a accuser's climate, right? Like, if you're accused, it's right away. It's the black letter. It's the A. And I get it. Most people are douchebags, but you know, if there's,
well, and we've kind of talked briefly about some other fallouts, you know, or some other, you know, fallout from these types of things, which again, you know, I really have to say that this is, we do want, people that have been victimized to feel like it's safe to come forward.
And come forward 100%. All the time.
And come 100%. Forward and make these known. What I think where it gets hairy is when it's somebody's career on the line.
Not even that. I think it's when it's someone's life on the line. Everyone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone makes mistakes and everyone is where they're at. But
right.
If you make a flippant accusation just because you're hurt at some moment in time in your life, right. Which we all have been, and we've all been a little heated where we may have wanted to make something,
right.
But now if all of a sudden it can ruin someone's career, and we drunkenly or murrinly or whatever, out of the heat of anger or being pissed off, make that comment, and then it ruins someone's career without right. Like... And she may be right. I'm not just saying for this round of accusations, but it's usually, you know, the woman accuses the man. Well, the man is instantly guilty. His career is fucked. Let's go from there.
He was removed from the Nerdist website.
That's his shit.
As being the founder of Nerdist. Like, they deleted that page.
And I, again... he may be a fucking asshole.
Right.
He may be doing all this, but again, innocent until American fucking proven guilty.
Sure. And kind of what I found interesting to see was I've seen Chris Hardwick live. I've listened to his podcast. When I saw him live, I was kind of underwhelmed. And again, it's kind of one of those things. But a lot of people like instantly chimed in and were like, wow, I kind of had a feeling he was an asshole. I thought thought he was a narcissist, or I've heard him
you
make jokes
to
like
be
this.
To have 17 successful fucking shows.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, you have to be a bit of a narcissist. Or people have said, I've heard him, make jokes like this in his stand-up or on the podcast. So, obviously he...
Obviously he did it.
So
there's no obviously about anything in life.
Right. And again, and I only kind of wanted to include it here because obviously we're all involved in podcasting. We're all in a podcast community. I'm not saying we all aspire to Chris Hardwick levels of success, but I think we're all, if not more cognizant of this type of stuff than we were before. We're all also kind of invested in the community in general. And we've seen other stories recently where there's sort of a toxic, and I say this safely to both of you, knowing that we're all white men, there's been sort of a toxic masculinity problem in the geek community. And I think part of what we have to think about as ourselves is how do we work to not perpetuate that? Like, and I understand the echo chamber that I'm saying this to, but that's something we all kind of have to think about. And I think about a lot, like maybe more so we could say things and be better people just to our listeners and to each other.
I guess. But realistically, I'll be the asshole to put my foot in the mouth here. You honestly can point back at any of the last 30. How many episodes have you been on of Legends?
Over
a year.
Sure. Over a year's
so
worth.
So let's call it with all of our hiccups 40 plus episodes.
Right.
You can tell me that we've been toxic masculinity on any one of those. Like,
I can only do what I can do. I can't control what other people do.
Right. I mean, I get I'm a white male, and I get I'm a quote unquote privileged white male, apparently, but I do only what I can do because I move forward with life. I treat everybody. I give everybody 5 or 10 minutes to prove to me that they're not a piece of shit.
And if you want to listen to Beef objectify people, listen to his other podcasts. You know what I mean? Like, just
but I don't objectify people. Then I just appreciate their beauty.
Right. And it's the work, right?
Right.
I guess I'll just kind of end this by saying that I think this is something we'll kind of keep in our minds as podcasters and as geeks and fans.
Never use your quote unquote position of authority or power over anyone, whatever that quote unquote power may be, to be an asshole, a sexist, a chauvinist, or someone of power that expects something from someone else. We have talked about this on our what did you call it? Our objectification cast.
No, I was Jesus.
You don't. That's not something you do. It's life. It's sexuality. You don't ever abuse someone else's sexuality because you think you have power over them. That is not what you do. Never.
I think the biggest problem with this is like there was someone who's been saying that this problem was here for years and no one listened to them, and that was Corey Feldman. No one listened to him.
Oh yeah, decades. Corey Feldman has been saying that.
Yeah, I was like, geez, maybe he's right. Like, I don't know about it. I mean, this sounds like it's very plausible. I mean, I was young. I didn't know.
And again, I think that we as, and I'll say that I'm an amateur podcaster. I'm by no means a professional. And I will gladly give you all the money I've ever made off of podcasting.
That's a fair,
out of the goodness
Brett.
Of my heart. Like, anyone who calls me and says, you know what, I think you're a professional podcaster, you owe it to me, I will give you every cent I've earned from podcasting.
Beep, boop, beep, 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 beep. Can you borrow me 10 cents?
I'm going to go say I will be your corporate whore. No problem there. I will sponsor anything you want me to.
Yeah. Yes. No. But at the same time, I do kind of feel like, even though I'm not a professional by any stretch of the means, I do kind of feel like an onus of stewardship for what it is that we're at least attempting to do here. So that's my statement. Anyone who wants to talk to me about it, I'm on Twitter at John L. Lobster. But
yeah, again, none of our community or people should be a douchebag. But again, there's going to be some segment of every community.
And call them out, and call them out to us,
right?
And we'll mention it on here.
It is what it is.
Let's talk about some cool news. I'm going to go with this one next. So Alex Kurtzman just took over as the lead showrunner for Star Trek Discovery, and he just signed a deal with CBS TV Studios for a 5-year development deal to develop a expanded Star Trek universe. He's going to get a big chunk of change.
On Discovery?
I think not just Discovery, but to develop some new stuff as well, kind of, I think, adjacent to it.
I like Discovery. I like that it's going all over the board, because I don't need to know the timeline. I just need to know the little bit of the timeline that makes me go, hey, I know that. You know?
Very true. I enjoyed Discovery as well. And Pete Docter and Jennifer Lee will be taking over Pixar, Disney Animation. Also good stuff. Willie, did you have a thought there?
Oh, I was just saying, I never really got into Star Trek.
Do you know any of the mythology? Time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I know the mythology. Just kind of like, Star Wars. I mean, but I've never, I've seen some things, but I was never into it.
There's like, neither was I. Check out, was it 10 episodes, 12 episodes, Star Trek Discovery? You can find it pretty much anywhere nowadays.
Discovery, is that the one they just made, or is that the one with the one they Scott just made, Bakula?
Yep, no, the new one.
Okay.
Any of the places where
you shouldn't find it.
You pay CBS extra money
that's right. That's what I meant. That's one reason I definitely never watched it, because the CBS.
Or if you're in any other country, you just watch it on Netflix.
So what you're telling me is to use a VPN.
What we're telling you is you should start with Enterprise, which is the one with Scott Bakula. Uh-huh. Start there because... No, I'm just kidding.
No, you should. I will cut out all the parts I shouldn't, but yes. Check it out. It's worth it.
Also, something we could watch on Amazon is the animated series Invincible from Walking Dead creator Robert Kirkman.
What's this about?
Invincible is a comic book, so they're going to do an animated series. And it's about a person who's invincible, revolves around a father and teenage son, as the son is taken under his father's wing for training him as a superhero.
Hmm.
I thought they were already going to do a live-action version of this, but this is a while back I heard about that.
So now they're going to do it as an animated show. Hmm. Also, Castlevania is up for an Emmy as
the Netflix anime?
Yeah, as best animated series.
Did you hear it's been already before season 2 renewed for season 3?
What?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I no lie. They are already starting to produce season 3.
Oh, I believe you.
That was my midsummer flu and ear infection awesome anime.
Does Netflix ever release how many times this was viewed? Did they ever release anything like that?
Not really.
That's a good question I just had. I feel proud of myself.
I don't think they do, actually. Unless they really want to. I don't think they're like, hey, this only showed 4 times in the U.S.
Very true. I don't know if it was nominated. It's under For Your Consideration or something.
Are you lying to us? Oh my
god! But it should be. It should be on there because it deserves it and it's awesome. How many trailers do you guys want to do?
As many as you want to.
All right, let's do it.
I'll go with the flow.
Let's go back to Amazon for Jack Ryan, starring Jim Halpert from The Office.
I'm a sucker for anything espionage type spy.
Yep.
So Then I have Amazon, so this is big, free programming.
Big Tom Clancy fans, speaking of reading the novels.
That's who I meant before when I was mumbling through the cast about the other guy that does the military stuff and the...
Okay.
So, yeah.
All the military stuff.
Yeah. The Hunt for Red October.
All of it.
Also starring Sam Neill.
Oh, my God.
Was Deep Impact one?
Deep Impact.
No, I'm thinking of Summer
one.
Of All Fields. I'm getting my Ben Affleck confused.
Summer of All Fields was one, yeah.
Summer of All
Fields.
I'm getting my Ben Affleck all confused.
Yep, all mixed up now.
They both have big explosions.
Luke Cage season 2. There's another trailer that focuses on Mariah. Also, I think this looks great.
It looks great. I like seeing someone that can actually compete toe for toe or whatever with Luke Cage.
Are you talking about Bushmaster?
Yeah, the badass dude.
Wasn't Bushmaster? Wasn't he a guest on Wholesome Addiction?
No, that was Bush Wrangler. Different people.
Oh, my bad. Yeah. Oh, my bad.
So, wait. What was his thing?
Bushmaster?
Bush Wrangler.
Bush Wrangler.
Did he would, like guns for arms or something like that?
I don't know.
Because I think I remember him from the Punisher video game for the PS2.
Okay.
Well, I don't know. He's like super powerful.
If he was in the video game, he probably had guns for arms. But I feel like that would make it tough to do normal tasks. You know, like... going to the bathroom and stuff.
Yeah, I gotta pee for sure.
I mean, there's a lot of characters we can ask how they use the bathroom, but we ain't getting into all that right now.
First Man from Damien Chazelle, his follow-up to La La Land, also starring Ryan Gosling. This looks good. I'm down for a good astronaut movie.
Yeah, it's
been a while. We just, I think, announced that we're creating a Space Force.
Is this
so maybe this
Buzz Aldrin one or whatever?
It's Buzz about Lightyear. The first. I don't think so.
No. He plays Neil Armstrong.
That's who I meant. Jesus.
That's close enough.
Yeah, one or two off.
But hey, I mean, the Earth is flat. There's no such thing as the moon.
Three.
I was kidding. I do not believe the Earth is flat. I want to definitely state that.
What? The Earth is totally flat. What are you talking about? Send your hate mail to wing@legendspodcast.com.
What do you mean
do
the Earth
that,
is flat?
Please.
First Man. Okay. The Grinch with Benedict Cumberbatch.
What?
Benedict Cumberbatch.
It's a sequel to the Jim Carrey movie?
Ben a Bunch Cumberbatch.
No, this is Illumination, the company that brought you the Minions, doing their own version of it. Maybe some kind of prequel-y stuff, I guess.
Oh, no.
So the Grinch, and then, of course, Dumbo, a live-action Dumbo movie.
How are they going to make an elephant fly? Those things weigh a lot.
Well, they're going to do it the same way they did in Jurassic Park, my friend. They're going to make them out of computers.
It's going to be
practical effects.
Come on.
The ears will be a practical effect.
What do you think? I am a Dumbo person? That one. All right,
that was Trailer Dump. We dumped that out pretty
fast. Holy shit snacks. Next time, Legends Podcast.
Oh, I had to look this up. I forgot we were doing
XXX, the Return of Xander Cage. Oh, Wing, if you're not here, we are totally going to hate you.
It's always important to make sure that the X in the middle is uppercase and the others are lowercase. That's
why.
Stylistically, how it's supposed to be written.
What if you do?
It's XXX.
What if you do XXX?
Wrong. It would look weird.
Why?
Aren't those like little symbols, like the umlauts over the U's? Don't they just add those if you want to extend it?
Good fucking word usage.
Umlaut.
Oh, I know the umlaut.
Well, either way, this has been episode 378 of Legends Podcast. I'm Beef saying, wow, it's been a long cast.
I'm Willie saying, that's a shit lot of shit. Oh, shit, she's putting her arm in that shit.
Also something you can see on Wholesome Addiction.
Oh, my God. Thanks to Sean.
That's when you have the latex glove that goes all the way up to the shoulder.
Again, thanks to Sean.
I'm John O. Lobster saying we have spared no expense on this podcast, and you have definitely gotten your money's worth this week.
Wait, am I getting paid for this?
Fuck no, you're not. We aren't either. Thank you for listening. If you'd like to leave us feedback, you can find us on Twitter and Facebook at Legends Podcast. For all our contact information, as well as other shows, look to GunnaGeek.com and KrakenCast.com. You can also visit LegendsPodcast.Lipson.com, where you'll find our complete archives. The music heard on this podcast is Danger Storm by Kevin MacLeod and can be found at Incomputech.com. The opinions heard on this podcast are those of each individual host and do not represent Legend Stream Canada, Gunna Geek, or KrakenCast. No infringement is intended.